Pope Benedict was officially welcomed to the United States at a White House ceremony today in Washington, D.C. The Pope arrived yesterday, greeted by President Bush at Andrews Air Force Base. His official welcome came on his 81st birthday. The Holy Father received a 21-gun salute on the White House lawn, which was followed by a sung rendition of the Lord's Prayer. 9,000 guests were invited to the ceremony, the largest ever such guest list in Bush's presidency. He was welcomed by President George Bush.
Holy Father, Laura and I are privileged to have you here at the White House. We welcome you with the ancient words commended by St. Augustine, Pax Tecum. Peace be with you. You've chosen to visit America on your birthday. Well, birthdays are traditionally spent with close friends. So our entire nation is moved and honored that you've decided to share this special day with us. We wish you much health and happiness today and for many years to come.
After the president's remarks, Pope Benedict greeted the American people and spoke of their country's unique history.
I come as a friend, a preacher of the gospel, and one with great respect for this vast pluralistic society. America's Catholics have made and continue to make an excellent contribution to the life of their country. As I begin my visit, I trust that my presence will be a source of renewal and hope for the Church in the United States and strengthen the resolve of Catholics to contribute even more responsibly to the life of this nation, of which they are proud to be citizens. From the dawn of the Republic, America's quest for freedom has been guided by the conviction that the principles governing political and social life are intimately linked to a moral order based on the dominion of God, the Creator. The framers of this nation's founding documents drew upon this conviction when they proclaimed the self-evident truth that all men are created equal and endowed with inalienable rights grounded in the laws of nature and of nature's good. The course of American history demonstrates the difficulties, the struggles, and the great intellectual and moral resolve which were demanded to shape a society which faithfully embodied these noble principles.
The Pope also said America's quest for freedom has been guided by the conviction that the principles governing political and social life are intimately linked to a moral order based on the dominion of God, the Creator.
Freedom is not only a gift, but also summons to personal responsibility. Americans know this from experience. Almost every town in this country has its monuments honoring souls who sacrificed their lives in defense of freedom, both at home and abroad. The preservation of freedom calls for the cultivation of virtue, self-discipline, sacrifice for the common good, and a sense of responsibility towards the less fortunate. It also demands the courage to engage in civic life and to bring one's deepest beliefs and values to recent public debate. In a word, freedom is ever new. It is a challenge held out to each generation, and it must constantly be won over for the cause of good.
The editor of the National Review Online, Catherine Jean Lopez, is one of the people at the event, who she will also be attending a special White House dinner later tonight in honor of the Pope. She says this visit was important personally for President Bush.
First of all, the president respects the Pope and respects Catholics and respects the Catholic Church. But I think he honestly is grateful, first of all, for the whole culture of life construct that really came from John Paul II and the Catholic Church, which he's adopted and adapted. And so many people in Washington have. I also think, frankly, when I've met with the president most recently in September in a small group, you really get a sense that the war on Iraq his responsibility to the military really weighs on him. I think that he really wants the advice of the Pope because he respects him as a moral leader. The concept of just war is not something foreign to him. It's not something he hasn't given thought to. So I think that beyond, you know, it's great to have a symbolic meeting with the Pope, I think he wants to meet with the Pope for good and important reasons.
The Pope is currently on his way to the Apostolic Nunciature in Washington, where he will have lunch. Right now, joining us from the United States is our own Sean Patrick Lovett. Good evening, Sean.
Hello. Hello, Charles, and good evening to our listeners.
The Pope has been welcomed as no other head of state in this administration. Is the mood at the White House being shared in the rest of the country?
Well, from what we can see, again, we're watching it on television, we're reading the newspapers. Yes, there's a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of curiosity about Benedict XVI. People have seen and heard so much about him. There was a lot of comparison, of course, but himself and his predecessor, John Paul II. And I think people are really glad he's here now, so they've finally got him on their own turf and they can see for themselves, they can hear for themselves.
Yesterday, while on the plane to the U.S., the Pope spoke about the sexual abuse scandal in the country. He said that everyone feels deeply ashamed about it and would do all possible to stop it from happening in the future. He outlined three levels of action, saying that search for justice, healing, and prevention. What has been the reaction to the Pope's remarks?
It was front page news, Charles. It was in every single newspaper in the country today. That was the headline. The Pope says, "I'm ashamed. This should never have happened. It mustn't happen again." It was as though that was what people were waiting for. We did talk to John Allen earlier today. He's covering for NCR. Of course, he's in Washington. And he said that that question was approved by Father Lombardi because, of course, journalists had to submit their questions, the questions that they wanted to pose to the Pope on the aircraft. That question was approved. So he was expecting the Pope to answer it. What he wasn't expecting, and not even Father Lombardi was expecting, was that the Holy Father would answer the question in English, making quite sure that the message gets across clearly without having to be interpreted or translated, that it gets through very clearly to the people of the United States, because he understands that's what people need to hear.
What about the second part of the message? Here in Italy, we did hear a lot about the use of the word ashamed, but not a lot of people were talking about the extensive answer he gave, where he went through the different steps that the church is going through to make sure that it doesn't happen again. Was that also covered in the press?
No, it wasn't, and I'm very grateful that you bring it up, and I think that is part of our role. That's one of the things that we can do specifically as Vatican Radio, those of us who work a little more closely with him. Yes, the complexity of the message does get lost in the newsworthiness of the catchphrase. So the catchphrase got a lot of coverage, but that strategy, because he truly did lay out a strategy which was very clear. Also the fact that he would distinguish between pedophilia and homosexuality and saying that he intends addressing that in a different way on a different occasion. Clearly he'd thought through this very, very clearly, and I think it is important in whichever way we can to try and express the complexity of his ideas faithfully as possible.
A final question. Right now you're stationed in New York, one of the most diverse cities in the world. We've heard a lot from the Catholics about this trip. What has been the reaction from non-Catholics? Do they care? Are they aware that it's happening?
Charles, one of the categories in New York that I'm particularly fond of is the category of taxi driver. I think taxi drivers are wonderful because they have a macrocosmic vision of everything. And I've had an opportunity to take quite a few taxi rides going backwards and forwards across the city over the past couple of days. Talking to taxi drivers, yes, they're excited. They think that it's fun that the Pope should come. Many of them remember the visit of John Paul II. I'll tell you something funny. A taxi driver this morning said he's delighted because he thinks Benedict XVI is going to solve the traffic problem in New York City, insofar as people are going to be terrified of the security and are going to stay home, and traffic will be resolved at least for a couple of days here in the city.
Thank you so much, Sean.